Our calendar ties us to beautiful customs and rites. We are our rites. We need to recover these practices as much as possible. And I have a message in particular today for Father Heilman, who I'm delighted to see here, the pastor, Father Heilman. I saw something apt on the famous Father George Rutler's pastor's page. I know what a great fan of football Father is. Father Heilman, not Father Rutler. And in his pastor's page, I quote from now, "During the reign of Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes, the Greeks built a gymnasium at the base of the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. Even some Jewish priests of the Herodian Temple succumbed to the sports mania. Should any pulpit orator try to beguile his congregation on the Feast of the Presentation with banter about the Super Bowl, let him be reminded, I quote, 'Disdaining the temple and neglecting the sacrifices, the priests hastened at the signal for the discus throwing to take part in the unlawful exercises on the athletic field.'" Quoting thus Second Book of Maccabees. That was from Father Rutler. I thought it was apt for today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We have beautiful customs on this lovely feast. Of course, you were all able to receive candles today. The candles are really a lovely thing. Remember that the Holy Family had to bring a sacrifice to the temple in order to fulfill the law. 40 days after the birth of the Lord, our Blessed Mother Mary, the Mother of God, who had no obligation whatsoever to fulfill the law according to ritual purity and so forth, but she did. This has, you know, ritual purity in the old sense had nothing to do about moral purity. It was a ritual thing. Any person who had a loss of blood of any kind and so forth was deemed ritually impure, and they had to wait, and they had to make a sacrifice in the temple in order to restore ritual purity. The reason why is because God had laid down laws in the book of Leviticus about how he wanted to be worshipped. God gets to decide how he gets to be worshipped, not us, right? That's why we fulfill the strictures of Holy Church about how he is to be worshipped. But that was the same in both the Old Testament and now under the New. We follow what God has to say. We want to please him, and he tells us how we can please him in fulfilling the virtue of religion. And so Mary and Joseph wanted to fulfill the laws, and so they came to the temple according to the law laid down in Leviticus to having to do with ritual purity. Now, this involved sacrifice, the shedding of blood, the destruction of something, right? The destruction of a life. And they were to bring either, according to the law, they were to bring a lamb, or if they were very poor, they could bring a pair of doves or a pair of pigeons. And the scriptures tell us that they brought the two little birds, the pigeons, because they were poor. This is an indication in scripture about the poverty of the Holy Family. If they had had greater means, they would have brought a lamb to the temple instead of the doves or pigeons. Of course, the lamb that they brought was truly the Lord, right? In mysterious prefiguring, bringing the lamb to the temple. But in this case, they brought the doves and the pigeons in order to fulfill the strictures of the law. And these birds were sacrificed, right? Their lives were given up. Well, today, therefore, we have signs both of sorrow and of joy mixed in with this feast. We start out with a penitential purple. We move to white, right? We have the great joy of Simeon being able to see the Lord, being able to see the Messiah after so many years, a very long life waiting to see the Messiah. And he has, and Mary's great joy at hearing Simeon's prophecy about the Lord being the light of the world and so forth, there's a moment of great joy. As a matter of fact, it's one of the mysteries, one of the joyful mysteries in the rosary. But according to our customs, we have another devotion too. We have I'm sure that some of you know about the devotion of the sorrows of Mary as well. Well, this very moment, which is a moment of joy that we celebrate in the rosary as a joyful mystery, is also the first of the sorrows of Mary. Because the same Simeon, after his exultant cry of joy at seeing the Lord, also then turns to our Blessed Mother and says that her heart, in other words, the seat of all that she is, of all of everything that she thinks and feels and all of her aspirations, her heart would be pierced by a sword. And the word in Greek that's used for a sword there isn't just like the usual sort of sword. The Greek word is rompheia. And a rompheia was a particular weapon. It's not like the sword of the Romans or the sword of the Greeks. It's a weapon that was used by the Thracians, which were a particularly savage tribe in the ancient world. The rompheia was a long, curved, terrible-looking weapon that was on the end of a long handle. And it would be used with both hands. And in order to be pierced with a rompheia, it was not so much a stabbing weapon as a slashing weapon. So in order to pierce someone's heart with a rompheia, you would either have to be above them and drive it down, or you'd have to be below and drive it up through the abdomen and under the ribs and into the heart that way. It's a horrible weapon. This is the weapon that Simeon uses to describe how Mary's soul will be pierced, a terrible piercing. The same word appears in John's revelations, the book of Revelation, the Apocalypse. The pale rider, death, carries a rompheia. The other rider, faithful and true, on the white horse, carries a rompheia, the one whose robe is dipped in blood. The one who is the Son of Man, the Alpha and the Omega, the sword, the Word of God, the sword that comes out of his mouth is described as a rompheia. It's the same word as that which is used to describe what will pierce the heart of our Blessed Mother. There is joy in this feast, and there's also there are very serious elements, very serious themes. And to that I turn now. The practice of our faith is a thing of great joy for us because we are given so many, many gifts. We have our traditions and our customs, like the candles. Remember that you were all given a candle at your baptism. When we have candles at Mass, when you see them being lighted, when they are distributed to you at different times during the year, it's to remind you of your baptism. As a matter of fact, at every single Mass, you really should have a candle. You should be holding a lighted candle at all Masses. But we have the torchbearers to do that. When you see them coming in with the torches, with the candles that are lit, and they kneel down, that's you up there. They symbolize you. You should unite yourselves with them as if you could project yourselves beyond the communion rail to be kneeling down there closer to the altar. That's you when they come in with those lit candles. We have these beautiful customs. But we have the serious elements of our faith that always involve penance. We start with purple, we move to white, but we do have penance before we have our feasts. We have reparation, we have self-denial. There is a dangerous element to what we are doing in our mission from God, just as Simeon describes. He proclaims his joy. He describes the sorrow that will pierce the heart of our Blessed Mother. We too also have to endure this sort of thing. The reason why, this is interesting, the reason why they had to go to the temple in the first place was because of these laws that I mentioned before about ritual purity. But why did they even have those laws in the first place? It's because every time the Lord tried to establish a covenant with man, we screwed it up and defied him and disobeyed him. And every time the Lord established a new covenant or repaired the damage that we did, he imposed more laws. Every single time we blew the covenant, he gave us more laws. The first time it was the Ten Commandments. Then we blew that one, and he gave us more laws and more laws and more laws. You think about when he came, when Moses came down. When Moses came down from the mount, after having been with God, receiving the Ten Commandments, he comes down, and that's when they have the golden calf episode. You'll remember that, right? They melted down gold, and they made this golden calf, and they're having this idolatrous orgy around the golden calf. And Moses comes down, and that's when God strips the priesthood from all males. Before that, all the males of Israel, the people of Israel, were a priestly caste. But at this moment, he strips all of the men of their priesthood, and he confers it on the Levites. And the Levites go through the camp with swords and slay 3,000 men who were involved in idolatry. In other words, the first ordination of priests was a bloodbath. They were anointed in blood. Our faith is serious business. Everything that we do is important in our worship. All of our devotions and all of our customs, some of them sweet and beautiful, also have a serious undertone. There's a reason why we have candles. We have candles today because Simeon had his beautiful exclamation of Christ as light of the Gentiles. He said this to the Blessed Mother because the Holy Family came to the temple. They came up to the temple to fulfill laws of ritual purity. They had laws about ritual purity because man had again and again and again screwed up the covenant with God, and God imposed more laws on them to tell them, to help them understand how to worship him properly. Everything that we do, even from the very beginning of the fall of our first parents, God didn't strike down Adam and Eve, but he did drive them from the garden. And before he did that, he made for them garments of skins. In other words, animals had to die. Blood was shed so that they could have clothing to go out into the world. Everything that we do in our faith has a serious, serious rooting. And remember, keep that in mind with all of your devotional practices. We do what we do for a reason. We do what we do because we want to please God and fulfill the virtue of religion. And with God's grace, we can do these things. And therefore, we should be joyful with the help and the example of the Holy Family, and especially our Blessed Mother Mary, with her protecting mantle. We can do these things. We can indeed please God. Please God, let us please God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.